Graver, come in.
Hey. How you doing there, big guy?
Yeah, have a seat.
Already?
Oh.
Well, you got yourself a cold? That's quite a honk.
Oh, thank you.
Get yourself some vitamin C with rose hips and bioflavonoids.
The reason I asked you in here is I caught your appearance on Regis and Kathy Lee the other day.
That was pretty good, huh?
Anyway, the thinking here is that it would be best if you didn't do any more of these shows.
Well, because of the coffee thing?
Graver, I'm sorry.
What about Sonya Live? No, you're not canceling Sonya Live.
It's out.
She's a doctor. I got a thing for her.
Wait, Graver, I...
Come to an end now.
The last of the puppet governments have crashed.
Boom.
We've got one outpost left here on the southern outskirts of the Chicagoland area. If you're listening to this, these are the last days. We've got four potatoes and 1.5 carrots left.
Huh.
The babies have all been eaten.
I don't like potatoes.
You could prepare a potato so many different ways. What do you mean you don't like potatoes?
Probably eat a baby.
Tell me you wouldn't like a nice Hasselback potato if I would fucking make some up right now?
I only know...
Chop them up, get all those butters in there, all the herbs.
I only know Matt
crisp
Hasselback.
Crisp it up real nice.
What's a Hasselback potato?
This is one of those ones where you like slice it real thin, but not all the way, so it's still together like an accordion, and
so,
then you just like stuff it full of goodness.
Are you trying
it's
to tell me...
maybe my favorite potato preparation.
You are the...
Even more than fries.
You are the Irish Bubba to my... regular Forrest Gump.
Did I scratch that? Give me a garlic mash. Garlic mash is...
Oh, I'm garlic doing like mash all day.
My Mount Potato more right now.
Yeah.
That's my number one right there.
There is a direct correlation in the amount of money.
Would potato soup get up there, I wonder?
I don't know. But how much money I've given Outback since they took their garlic mash off the menu?
For their new rustic-style mashed potatoes? Yeah. Like, we leave the peels in to be an annoyance. Get rid of all that creamy just goodness that just would slide down your throat like you're doing an oyster.
Yep.
Take out all the flavor. I don't even know that they're putting like butter and salt in there anymore.
Well,
rustic,
no.
They're probably adding dirt. They're just adding more dirt.
You get the two sides there with the sirloin, you know? You just do the sirloin. Don't get an expensive cut from Outback.
Okay, I think that sounds like really good strategy so far.
Like, they're not going to have real steaks there.
No.
Just get the cheap-ass
probably
sirloin.
True.
It's going to taste the same, and they're still tender. It's fine. So you get that, and you get the two choices.
Plus, like, you're probably getting some sort of like fucking barbecued shrimp thrown on a side there or something, some sort of add-on. Something real Australian.
You can.
Give me some of those coconut shrimp, motherfucker.
That's always an option, but for my two sides.
I'm going to surf it and turf it if I'm being treated to an Outback dinner, probably by some like classy lady who's trying to wine me and dine me.
It's like I like to tell everybody, it costs a little more to go first class. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, these days that might not necessarily be true.
Well, that's...
seen a lot of pictures of empty airplanes and... a lot of reports of airlines begging Mr. Trump for money. Oh, please, Donald Trump, won't you bail us out? No one's on our shitty airplanes anymore. If they go, they give those guys a fucking dime of relief money before, like, breaking them up into non-monopoly companies and, like, forcing them not to treat people like human fucking cattle, creating laws that you can't overbook every flight so people get fucking bumped off everywhere you go. We're going to have to burn down the White House again.
Again?
Yeah, it's probably happened like 3 or 4 times. Who knows when this episode's going to come out?
Oh.
With technology rapidly being destroyed and this apocalypse, this could be like 6 months from now. This transmission's finally received. I assume the White House has been burnt down a couple times.
Just sections of it, maybe.
Yeah. People are just taking refuge in their local Outback Steakhouse. It's really the only place that's still safe to go.
We're happy to report the tennis pavilion is still standing. The tennis pavilion, I repeat, is still standing.
No, that's not true. Officially, all Outback Steakhouses have been closed, I guess, as of tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
This recording, this is the last day you could go in and get a delicious sizzly sirloin from your local Outback Steakhouse.
Spring.
At least here about in these parts and all the different states around us.
You could still get carry out, though.
Oh, that's true. Outback does have those like carry out parking spots.
Yeah.
Go up there, just be like, give me a blooming onion.
Tell you what, maybe we'll meet up tomorrow.
For my health.
You, the little lady, and I will do a little Outback carry out. It'll be a nice little Tuesday
just
night.
Eat it in the car in the parking lot?
Yeah, I don't care.
That sounds great.
Yeah, just throw the styrofoam containers onto the ground when we're done.
Hey, hand me some of that steak over there.
Which one? Whichever one you got on the dashboard. Yeah,
just that half one of that one right there. Hand me that.
I like to upgrade. I like to shell out the extra money for the asparagus.
Oh, wow. That's pretty fancy.
And
a green vegetable from a chain restaurant.
Although I'm sad that they don't have the garlic mash. I'm happy
devastated
that at the same time,
literally haven't gone back.
At the same time, they also added the chicken tortilla soup to the everyday menu.
Oh, that's a nice little treat.
Still delightful.
Flavors from south of the border, just like they're known for.
Absolutely. South of the border, mate. Oh,
I guess Australia is probably technically south of our border if you look at the latitude and the longitude, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's
what's
very
left
warm
of it
down there.
Much like the White House, it also burned down.
Well, this isn't even a bit we're doing that
no,
actually happened.
Yeah.
Hey, I heard you got those fires out finally. How about a global pandemic as a nice little chaser,
yeah,
Australia?
They only have 250 reported cases in Australia.
Yeah, but they have a population of like 800 probably at this point. That's
fires.
Not so great. That's not so great.
Yeah. Oh, well. Hey, it's Baby Oil and Blow. We're here to cheer you up? Question mark?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been doing great.
Yeah.
I think, like, there's been a therapeutic thing going on here because, like, I'm always just, like, so completely consumed with dread, and I'm always, like, trying to tell everybody how bad things are, and they're always just, like, dumb and oblivious, and now everybody's freaking out, and I'm just like, oh, welcome to my entire life, always, everybody.
Yeah, this is what I'm thinking all the time.
The fucking mask has been pulled off. The curtain has been pulled back. You're finally seeing what a teetering fucking rickety piece of shit our society is, which is what I've been trying to tell everybody for the past fucking, I don't know how many years.
Just been hinting at it,
you know? It's all happening in real time.
Real time. We are your hosts.
We don't need paid time off. We don't need affordable health care.
No.
We're coasting along fine with all these things. I don't see anything bad that could happen.
No. Yeah. We're your hosts. I'm Matt O. With me, as always, he is the Mike Pence to my Donnie Trump. He is Nate Adams.
Ahoy, ahoy, everybody.
I've put Nate in charge of the Baby Oil and Blow coronavirus reporting.
Yeah. Did you see that? The first thing that happened in that debate the other night is just like, Vice President Biden, the coronavirus is killing everyone, like, blah, blah, blah. If you were president, what would you do? First response, old man coughing right into the microphone. It's the first thing you heard in that fucking debate. Yeah, we got everything figured out. The future's looking great.
I don't want to say I got it, but Ninja, if I got it, Joe Biden's got it, you know?
Without question. Also, the bars are all shutting down. This is number one on my panic list right now.
Yeah.
Can't go to any bar anywhere. I've checked it. All the states even surrounding this state, they're shutting them down. Michigan was the last to fall. I was like, I'm going to have to drive to Michigan every day. That's fine.
Yeah.
Nope.
Hang out with Tim Allen.
Completely trying to shut me out, trying to, I don't know, this might all just be an elaborate government ruse to cure me of my alcoholism.
Yeah, I got real scared. I was at the liquor store, like I told you, I was buying some 101 because it's, you know, you gotta have the 101 to burn it out. And the large young lady at the liquor store was like, we probably closing down tomorrow.
Oh, she could dunk probably?
Different kind of large.
Oh,
friend.
Oh.
Yeah. She's like, yeah, we probably closing down tomorrow.
Yeah, everybody's closing down. This shit's done. But joke's on them. I've got a better stocked bar than most of the bars around here in my house.
Yeah.
I'm fucking Waco right now. Just instead of guns, though, I'm holed up with
all the alcohols.
Dozens and dozens of bottles of liquor. If they want it, they're going to have to come take it from me.
My mom, I saw her yesterday, and she's like, what are you going to do? You're just going to start just drinking over at Nate's all the time now? And it was like, that's a great idea,
yeah,
Mom.
Yeah, great idea, unless Nate's just sitting on a pile of his liquor bottles with a shotgun trying to blow away anybody who comes near it.
I'm much more trained in firearms than you are. I'll take my chances.
It doesn't matter. I'm going to be blowing buckshot in your direction.
Ah, buckshot. You can pick that out. That's nothing.
Done it before and I'll do it again.
Goddamn right. So I'm going to be at your house bringing the dogs.
No, the dogs can't get drunk. That's not healthy for them.
Maria will probably end up eating the dogs because you don't have any real food here. It's all powdered food.
That's right. Uh-huh.
She's as much as she loves animals, she's still going to give in at some point.
It's mostly to keep Maria out of this place.
Yeah.
I know if there's food around, you're going to get roaches.
She's going to show up, damn it.
Matt.
Yeah?
We're here to talk about action movies.
Oh, shit. Even with all the
insanity going on all over the world.
Yeah.
Shit really fell apart quick.
Yep.
But it doesn't matter. We're going to still keep moving forward with our plans. Our plans were to finish out this month doing time travel action movies, so that's what we're fucking doing. Let's get
another rundown. We're not
going
to switch next week to like End of Days. That's the best End of Days.
This thing's got legs, so I figure we don't jump into the post-apocalypse movies quite
yet. Okay.
Let's save them for a couple months from now.
June.
The rundown this week ain't brought to us by anything because everything's shut down. Nobody can afford to pay for advertising right now.
As a matter of fact,
it's brought to us by our GoFundMe. Go find that and send us some dollars. I'll set one up. We're out of work, yo.
Yep.
It is of Trancers from 1984, which was released in Australia as Future Cop.
That's a pretty cool name.
Runtime of this movie is just a virtuoso 77 minutes.
Yeah.
Just a perfect, breezy, refreshing 77 minutes. That's the prettiest thing you'll ever see when you're firing up a movie to watch for a podcast.
This movie, it was like when we were doing wrestling shows every week, and we got to that glorious time when it was instead of watching 5-hour wrestling shows from the 80s, we got treated to like
show
a 1-hour
show by Atlanta Braves baseball.
And it was like,
music to my ears.
What?
The director of this movie is Charles Band, the El Jefe over there at Full Moon Features, producer of the Puppet Master movies, director of things like Metal Storm and the Ginger Dead Man, etc., etc., Schlockmeister extraordinaire. Stars of this movie, one of his great, great Full Moon Features leading men that he went to over and over again. Tim Thomerson is in this movie as Jack Death, who's a trancer hunter from the year 2247.
I thought you were going to say he was a tranny.
I don't know. He did kind of have like a pre-op Caitlyn Jenner thing going on. So I can see maybe these days, being him, that might have happened. He is a veteran of TV shows, soap operas, and schlock cinema, dating all the way back to the mid-70s. If you know him, you know him. If you don't, there's no way to explain to you who he is.
Not at all. Did Bruce Jenner cut it off?
I thought that's what the whole thing was. Like, I'm on the cover of a magazine because I cut my dick off. He didn't get all that press for not cutting it off, did he?
I hope not.
If he hasn't had the op and he got all that press and he's basically just like, oh, I put on a dress or whatever.
Yeah.
That sort of annoys me. Like, big deal. Who cares?
Yeah, RuPaul's been doing that for years,
bro.
Yeah,
no shit.
And looks way better.
Way better. RuPaul's gorgeous. Art LaFleur is in this movie playing McNulty, who's the gruff chief of the Trancer Hunters. It's sort of, I guess they're cops, but they basically just call themselves Trancer Hunters here. In this
you know
feature.
Where he's from?
He was the captain in Cobra as well, so he's got a long tradition of playing captains in movies.
No, man, like, big news here, man. He's worked with our guy Tim Allen.
Art LaFleur?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
He was the Tooth Fairy in all the Santa Claus movies.
Okay.
He was in an episode of Home Improvement.
Wow. Good friends with Tim Allen.
He's hitting all of our favorites. He was in an episode of Norm.
Impressive. Credentials are growing.
He's Babe Ruth in the Sandlot.
I remember that.
Remember, kid, there's heroes and there's legends. Heroes get remembered, but legends never die. Follow your heart, kid. Never go wrong.
Well, I guess he's that little boy's like sort of subconscious projection of Babe Ruth.
Right.
So, yeah.
But most importantly, born in Gary, Indiana.
Oh, wow. Local boy.
There you go. Oh,
let's put up a cheers to him. Clink, clink.
I'll drink to that.
Yeah, I'll drink to that as well. We got a little riff on a jungle bird here that I made for us. It's got a three different kinds of rum in there rather than just the Jamaican. So it's, I got a lot of that pineapple rum in
Jamaican
there.
Jamaican me crazy.
So that I could cut down significantly on the pineapple juice content there, and it wouldn't be drawn out or so sweet. And you know, a little bit of Barbados rum in there to even it out. And just a hint of overproof rum from the Demerara River region too. Give it some of that depth and some of that oomph. I think it turned out really well.
That's so good that mine's almost gone.
Three rums, we'll call it a zombie bird. It's the official riff name.
Nice. I like it.
Michael Stefani is in here playing Whistler, the mind-controlling, time-traveling bad guy.
Gwen Stefani's dad, right?
He was a TV actor in the 60s, didn't do anything for decades, and then came back in the 80s for one more job just to be in this movie. He had to have had some sort of Charles Band connection, like just some weird old man Charles Band knew. Called him in, brought him off the bench.
Owed him some kind of life debt?
Yeah, no idea what the story is there, but you know there's a story about him being in this movie.
But he is Gwen Stefani's dad, right?
I think the uncle who touched her and made her act out so much in her early 20s and teen years.
He's what Don't Speak is about.
Uh-huh. Infamous subject of Don't Speak. Michael Stefani is in this movie. Helen Hunt's coming up the rear here, playing Lena.
I'd like to come up here.
She's
rear,
the dyed-haired little teenage punk whose bed Jack Death time travels directly into. So then he's just like, well, you're going to be my girlfriend now.
Well, hell, I might as well fuck her.
Basically the story of this movie. She hunted storms in Twister and henpecked Paul Reiser in Mad About You, of course. Oscar winner Helen Hunt in fucking Trancers.
I've never seen Twister.
Oh.
Although I have experienced Twister the ride.
Okay.
My name is Paxton or Pullman.
Was Paxton or Pullman in the like pre-ride
thing there?
I think that was Paxton in that one, wasn't it? I have seen Twister, but not since like the mid-90s.
I'm Bill Paxton. Welcome to Twister the ride. You're going to experience up to F5 conditions.
That sounds like a really good ride. What was that, Universal Studios?
Yes, sir. It was a long line. Everybody was sorely disappointed with it.
Oh, that cow didn't even look real when it flew by.
But hey, that Twister movie, The Mom.
Where's Twister 2? Twister was a huge success.
What? Yeah,
it was like one of those weird 30-year later sequels they've been doing lately. Twister 2 with old lady Helen Hunt.
There's a great CBS sitcom in the late 90s, early aughts.
I love all this obscure bad sitcom trivia we've been getting out of you.
Still Standing.
Mm-hmm.
Delightful film. It's got the heavyset British guy from that A Knight's Tale, and he's also a king in Game of Thrones.
Oh, okay.
Delightful actor.
Yeah.
But he plays a Chicago schlub working at a department store.
Is this like produced by a Jim Belushi or something?
No, but it's got a Murray brother in it.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, yeah. It's a phenomenal show.
Had to have a connection to either a fucking a Belushi or a Murray if you're a CBS Chicago set sitcom. That's for damn
sure. Just a phenomenal show. Oh, and the daughter was the redhead that had just a million, like, just hardcore photos leaked in that whole fappening thing.
Oh, I'll have to look up her name and then those photos.
Oh, just like, you know, graphic photos of stuff.
Got to watch a couple, like, you know, episodes of Still Standing before I look at the pictures,
though. For the gravitas.
It's important to, like, get to know the D-list celebrity before you just look straight at the nudes. It's just random porn if you just look straight at the nudes.
You're going to love this show. He's got some, like, chubby, slow daughter, too. That's amazing.
She have nudes?
Maybe. Another probably.
Thing to look at. Tagline of this movie. His name is Death. He hunts trancers. Even in the 20th century, which, if you don't know, he's not from the 20th century. That seems weird, but whatever.
Do they state the year?
Plot of this movie. Oh, yeah, it's right here in this plot synopsis, too. I'll just wait for you right here. Angel City trooper Jack Death is sent back in time from 2247 to 1985 L.A. to inhabit the body of his ancestor. Death's assignment is to find his archenemy, Whistler, who turns people into zombies. Before the fiend is able to kill all the ancestors of the future's governing council.
Not the governing council.
Yeah, they seem to be very important here in this Trancers universe. We'll get into that a little bit later as we transition here into our next segment, which is called Bullet Points.
But for today, it's Phaser Points. points or some shit.
Pew, pew. Pew, pew, pew. Laser points. Laser pointers.
Laser pointers, yeah.
Cats are going to go crazy listening to this episode.
Hell yeah. First thing I noticed
first
was...
First things first.
Was, hey, they must have got the guy who made the cars from Blade Runner for this movie.
And they did.
They did, yeah. They really did. Same guy.
So the future, we open in the future, is 2047, and it is awesome. After that fucking disappointing future in Time Cop last week, I was like, now this is what the future looks like.
Yeah. And they had it. Did you do the numbers? Did we do budgets?
No, there's no information. No, this is fucking Wild West Charles Band filmmaking. Yeah. Nobody has any idea what the bookkeeping is on this.
It had to be a shoestring budget, but it looked good.
For sure. They did a lot, especially in this opening fucking sequence here where we're in the future. We got just all sorts of neon all over the place. The cars look like ships from Star Wars with wheels on them. Fucking, you got some of that Blade Runner production shit. Everybody's filthy. It's like got some Blade Runner noir shit going on too there, or it's just like dirty nighttime, foggy.
Yeah. It's like how I felt driving here tonight.
Visually, very fun. Is it foggy out there?
Yeah, it's just kind of gray and misty.
Left
and
the house all day on account of...
All day it's looked like a... End of the world.
How you're
movie.
Not supposed to leave the house and whatnot.
Some of us aren't as fortunate.
Well, some of us got to do a podcast.
That's fair.
You can't. What are they going to do? Just be like, oh, do-do-do-do-do-do. New rule from the governor.
All podcasts.
All podcasts are canceled. I don't think so, man.
No.
People would be. There would be riots in the streets. You talk about transmitting diseases. You cancel podcasts, everybody's going to be out there in the streets.
How are we supposed to get Tom Rock through all this, huh?
Come on. I'm thinking about you, buddy. Yeah. Praying for you.
Yeah. Probably do a welfare check, make sure he's still alive.
You'll send a trooper over there like they do to Kevin McAllister's house in Home Alone.
There you go.
There's no one home. The house looks secure. I'm to count their kids again.
First person we meet in this future is fucking Jack Death.
Hell yeah.
Fucking cool as hell. He's got slicked back hair. He's got a scar over his eye.
God, he looks
fucking
cool.
Wearing an awesome duster. He's lighting a fucking cigarette. He doesn't care if it's 300 years in the future. He's still smoking cigarettes, man. Like, fucking just keeping it real. Jack Death is a cool fucking name.
Yeah.
He's in, like, a dirty future diner, which is fucking cool right here. We're getting a lot of that cool shit.
Orders coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Real coffee.
Mm-hmm. Which, I don't know what that means. In the future, I guess they've got fake coffee.
And old girl's like, real stuff that's gonna cost you, and he's like, well, I think I deserve it.
This is where we get some of the world building here, where there's like this fat guy sitting behind the counter and he's like, I'm a trancer hunter, here's my badge, I'm gonna put this little bracelet on you and it's gonna test if you're a trancer or not. He's like, trancer man, I ain't no fucking trancer, you can't be testing me to be a trancer, I got rights here, motherfucker. But
turns out he wasn't
a trancer, but
we
have established that there's a thing called trancers and you can test for them and they're everywhere.
We forgot that they do a little noir voiceover at the very beginning.
I'm Jack Death.
Where he's like, I'm Jack Death. I killed Whistler.
Coffee doesn't exist anymore.
On the outskirts of something, but there's still trancers
left.
Okay,
I should have probably listened
and
more
I
to
aim
that.
To find
that would have explained more to me probably who Whistler is and what he's doing, because I never pay attention to these voiceover narrations. They just wash right over me. Because a lot of this movie, I'm just thinking to myself, like, who's Whistler? How serious is he? Why can he trancer people? What makes him be able to trancer
they
people?
They never really explain that, but he does explain, like, Whistler started the trancer thing and he killed him.
Yeah.
But there's still trancers left.
Turns out we find out that Whistler ain't dead, man.
He ain't dead, brother. Spoiler. He ain't dead.
But it turns out the trancers are out there, because right when he tests this guy and he's negative, we turn around and fucking the sweet little old lady who was serving him coffee is all methed out now.
Yeah.
She's got like burnt up fucking meth pipe lips and she's swinging a fucking hatchet at him.
Yeah.
And we're off to the races. It's turned into a zombie movie suddenly. Zombies in the future.
Yeah. It was a really good like jump scare kind of moment.
Oh yeah, I like the editing there a lot.
Yeah.
And then we just get a fun brawl where he's like throwing around some little stunt person in an old lady dress like inside of this diner.
She's throwing pots of boiling water at him that his future duster saves him from.
Yeah, well, that's why you fucking wear a duster, because of reasons like this.
Yeah, he knows.
It makes sense.
So fat guy like runs outside and pulls like one of those university rape switches.
Yeah, that's what I was getting. There's one of the rape phones, only instead of being a phone, it just sent like a future beam into the air. Like, there's tranchers here.
Did you ever hit one of those?
One of the emergency phones?
Yeah.
No, that would be wildly irresponsible. Why would I do that?
I did.
What were your results? Did you get everything out of it you wanted to?
I was like 16, drunk at a college campus. Hit the thing and ran, man.
He fucking ends up killing this bitch by laser gunning her, though.
Yep.
So we learn that tranchers can die. They get laser gunned. And then afterwards, they sort of like Buffy the Vampire Slayer style, just like disintegrate and they don't exist anymore.
Because, Nate, you don't kill them.
What do you do to a trancer?
You singe him.
He's singeing fucking trancers throughout this whole movie, which
Hell
is
yeah.
pretty cool. He's got a lot of cool lingo that
Jack
I like that goes
Death
along with tricks of the trade.
Is a badass.
He's one of the coolest characters we've come across in a long time on
this
fucking podcast.
Absolutely.
After this, we're fucking like establishing more of the world because he's scuba diving out in the ocean and we see like
McNulty, his chief, comes.
Matte painting background. We see that like there's skyscrapers that are just peeking out of the ocean.
Yeah.
So we're like, the oceans must have rose and swallowed the city and stuff, which is cool, but also matte paintings are cool, so I like this whole fucking scene.
But
yes, this is when McNulty shows up.
Well, he shows up at the end of the diner scene.
McNulty!
He ends up at the end of the diner scene, and he's like, hey, Captain...
You're off your case!
He doesn't like the way you're doing things. And he's like, is that so, McNulty?
Can't be singeing all these trancers.
He's like, well, be sure to give the captain my badge, because fuck you, I quit. And that's why he's scuba diving the next day, because he's got free time now.
This later thing is, I don't know how much time has passed between here and there, but like McNulty's got to come.
It seemed
hat
like
in
it
hand.
Was the next day.
It really did. Like, we get no fucking indication that like time has passed. It's just like, next scene. And it's like, we need you to come be a trancer hunter again, as it turns out.
We know you spend all your free time now pulling hubcaps out of the ocean.
Yeah, I guess he was just like, he's just like a Fred Sanford-esque salvager now or something. I don't know. Jack Death's fallen on hard times early in this movie.
You big dummy.
He found a street sign for Sunset Boulevard.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, McNulty's like, Captain says, you're back on the force. You have to come to the council meeting.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, fuck you. I ain't doing that because I'm not, you know, some corporate shill, you know?
Yeah, I'm going back out into the ocean.
He's like, I'm pretty sure I found the original Chinese theater.
You'll never get the spiritual side of salvaging scrap out of the ocean. You just live to get radical, McNulty.
He's like, I think I found the original Chinese theater. So it's like, okay, something's happened.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there was
original
there was terrible
LA's man. Underwater.
We're now in a future LA that has been destroyed by terrible earthquakes.
They haven't established that, though.
But, you know,
we're
reading between the lines here.
Yeah, we do find out. So, I forget why, but...
Well, because when Jack Death's, like, about to dive underwater again, he pulls out his ace up his sleeve, which is, Whistler's still alive!
Oh, that's right.
So Jack Death's like, God.
Oh, fuck you, McNulty.
The one thing they could get to get me back on the force. Yeah. I got to go hear them out about Whistler still being alive.
So he goes to the council.
Mm-hmm. Which is just an old lady, I think.
It's Anne Seymour.
Okay. Who's that? I didn't recognize her, so I didn't look her
up. She was in Field of Dreams.
Oh, I didn't watch that because that movie was boring, so I wouldn't have picked up on that.
She apparently had a lot of troubles learning her lines.
In this movie or Field of Dreams?
This movie.
Yeah, she was probably on a lot of drugs if she was down and doing Charles Band movies at this point.
Which is funny because, you know, she's even older in Field of Dreams, but does fine.
Well, she bounced back.
Yeah, you know.
Career resurgence.
Get that paycheck. They originally wanted Bette Davis for the role.
Oh, fuck yeah. You can get a Bette Davis, you get a fucking Bette Davis, but good luck with that.
She was like, I'm old.
Talk about being on drugs.
I'm old and gonna die. I'm not doing that movie.
But they show like a hologram sort of like a recording that Whistler has sent out.
Yeah.
And it's cool. He looks like he's got like a red sash tied around his waist.
He
and
looks...
he's like, he's using words like adieu. And I'm like, oh man, this Whistler is fucking a pompous ass. I can see why Jack Death hates him so much.
He looks like an old white version of the guys that stole Jerry's Friars Club jacket.
Hi, I was in the audience earlier. You threw my jacket down. I just wanted to pick it up.
Jacket? What jacket?
I had a jacket with a crest on it. You came into the audience. You threw it away. Agrabah.
Are you sure it was me?
Well, it was either you or one of your brothers.
Well, two of them have left already. Dmitry wants magic of racketing?
It doesn't even belong to me. It belongs to the Friars Club.
Sorry.
Yeah, he's a fucking complete asshole. I love Jack Death so much, and I hate him so much, so I'm ready for this fucking movie to start.
Yeah.
And it's explained, like, what he's done is he's gone back in time, he's killing all of the council members' ancestors so that eventually the council members will not be born. I don't know how they know this, because they would just erase from time. Once again, I'm having time travel problems.
Yeah.
And there's just the one lady counselor left, and she's like...
No, there's two.
Oh, there's two?
Yeah, there's Spencer.
Who's Spencer?
He's the old man. He's been in stuff, except he's got hair in this movie. Mm. He's, boop, 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 Richard Hurd.
Okay.
Chairman Spencer.
So we're down to two fucking chairmen, and they're like, you got to go back in time, Jack Death. You're the person who knows this guy the best. It's kind of like in Demolition Man, where they're like, Sylvester Stallone, we got to thaw you out, because Simon Phoenix is here, and you're the only guy who can stop a Simon Phoenix.
Oh, that's right. He's fucking Costanza's boss in Seinfeld.
Oh.
Mr. Wilhelm.
So, George, have you heard anything about the missing equipment?
No, not a thing.
You know, George, there's nothing I hate more than a liar.
Well, there's no room for someone like that in this organization.
Are you feeling all right, George?
Fine.
You look a little warm.
It's a chicken.
You're a terrible liar, George. Look at you. You're a wreck. You're sweating bullets.
It's the Kung Pao. George likes his chicken spicy.
Matt, we've got an interesting form of time travel here.
Yeah.
This isn't like Time Cop, where there's a classic time machine. We're doing time travel by injection in this movie.
Yeah.
It's fucking like, it's weird as hell.
It's,
they shoot you up with some drugs and somehow it sends you back in time.
It sends you back in time to an ancestor's body.
Like through the DNA chain or something, they say. You wake up with your brain inside one of your ancestors'
bodies.
They
guard your body.
You can only go back into your ancestors.
Aunt Rachel from Family Matters.
Mm-hmm.
Guards your body
That's
while
right.
you're gone. She shoots you back through DNA time and guards your body.
I definitely recognized her from Family Matters, but I was thinking to myself, I'm like, who was she? Why was she around? She must have been an aunt. Was she Carl's sister or was she the wife's sister?
I want to say she was the wife's sister.
I couldn't remember. Yeah, that would be a more classic, like, oh, I got to put up with my wife's sister dynamic, I suppose. Yeah. Remember she had Richie, her son, later on in that?
Yeah, he was pretty lame.
That's when you knew that show was going way downhill, when Richie suddenly got introduced.
He was there from the get-go.
Yeah, but he was like a baby, but then like
disappeared.
One season now he's like a precocious
toddler.
Child actor who's gonna have lines and stuff.
He looked like a little Lionel Richie.
Oh, he did look. That was the one thing cool about him. And I was like, late fucking season Family Matters, you need to be putting more of your money on a Waldo Geraldo Faldo.
Oh,
less
on
a little Richie if you wanna keep me watching.
Well, they were smart to constantly give us Stephen Urkel.
Oh, yeah. That was real big. Once you did it once, people were insatiable for it. They needed more and more.
And then he had like the Bruce Lee serum as well. Did you ever see any of those episodes?
I don't think I remembered him inventing a Bruce Lee serum.
Oh, man. And then one episode, like, not only does he take it, Carl also takes it.
Carl was doing some karate.
It's pretty cool.
It's got to be like a time travel episode, I imagine, right?
Yeah, we saw it that one night.
Through time.
When we were wasted and Nickelodeon put us in a time loop.
Well, that was... That was a time loop where they just kept playing the same 40-second... Not even milliseconds. 40 milliseconds of fucking...
That was so weird.
Family Matters over and over again on a loop for 12 hours straight. We just sat and watched it for far too long.
Way too long.
Somebody might have done like a long second to us and we didn't even realize it.
Snap.
Like... That's just how we perceive time at the time while they were going through their entire long second.
Time after time.
This is another thing that Aunt Rachel explains right now. Not only are we injecting you with some serum that's going to send you back into your ancestor's body, somehow we're going to also be able to send objects back in time with you.
We can't send human objects.
Super makes no fucking sense.
Just, you know.
One of the objects we're going to send you is this watch that has a button on it. When you push the button, time stops for a second, and you can experience 10 seconds in that second, and you can really fuck some shit up in 10 seconds. So
right.
Keep this watch, only use it once, because it's a one-use thing. It fucking, like,
it's one and
self-destructs
done.
Afterwards.
Also,
now, Jack Death, you're off to the races.
You also get a gun that's got two serums in the handle.
Oh, yeah, that's
that'll
right.
bring you...
It's an antidote to send you back to the future.
It's going
to
bring you and Whistler
it's
back.
It's like a poison that sends you to the past and then an antidote that sends
and
you to
like,
the
And he's like, what
future.
Do you mean bring Whistler back? They're like, well, we want him alive. We still got his body.
Which,
and he was like,
thank God this was resolved quickly. Because what a dumb idea.
Yeah.
a Whistler, the guy who's ravaged the entire future with his trancers.
Yeah.
We're going to leave him alive? Come on. Shoot to kill.
Yeah, Jack Death was like, oh, that body right over there? Singed.
Laser gunned it.
Just fucking singed.
This is how you know that Jack Death is a loose cannon. How Jack Death is maybe, like, you know, rough around the edges, but he gets results.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good things to know about Jack Death.
Spencer's like, oh, we can't let this guy go back in future or back in time now. And fucking old lady, she's like, bro, he's our only hope.
Yeah, it's Jack Death or nobody.
You already gave him a picture of your uncle. I already gave him a baseball card.
Okay.
Of my drunk uncle.
So does the guy, the other council member, just like die at any point in the movie? Because I remember it all just coming down to this lady's baseball playing fucking... All
right, we'll get to it. We'll get to it.
...ancestor, and he's the only person that matters.
So he sends him back in time. He wakes up.
This is when he wakes up in the bed.
Shaving.
Well, I guess it's his bed, but Helen Hunt is in his bed.
He's shaving. Uncle Phil, Philip Death, is shaving and
Helen
turns
Hunt's
into Jack Death.
Putting on a leotard. And we get
I thought
to
we were going
to
get titties.
Naked back, and it seems like we're about to see some titties, but then no, as Trancers.
Prude-ass bitch.
What the fuck, man? You're hiring an unknown actress. You're making schlock exploitation. You're teasing that she's getting dressed, and then she doesn't do a turnaround?
Yeah.
Something went wrong here.
He starts muttering under his breath. He's like, LA before the earthquake. She's like, what? And he's like, nothing, you idiot bitch.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, did you mean what you said about us fucking last night when we were like lost souls reconnected, blah, blah, blah? And he's like, lost souls. Yeah.
This is when you realize that this 12 and a half year old girl has had sex with a 55 year old man. And something is not right in the world.
Yeah.
If this was old school Loveline, we'd be betting right now.
Make her do the ABCs.
Who touched her? Was it a dad, an uncle, a babysitter?
Helen Hunt, just say the ABCs for me.
What's led you to this point right now, Helen Hunt, to where you, your sweet little chubby baby cheeks, are here in this creepy old man's apartment having apparently mind-blowing sex with him?
She's like, you know I got to get back to work. And he's like, yeah, just let me put myself together. And he's like, ooh, this sweet detective duster will work. And she's like, why the fuck are you dressed like an old detective?
I guess we sort of have glossed over one of the main things that happens in this movie, though. He's being played by the same actor.
Well, because his uncle...
We're doing a Back to the Future thing here, where Marty McFly is also playing his fucking ancestors when he goes back to meet them.
Well, yeah, but, you know... Philip Death just happened to look a lot like his
nephew.
Except,
like, blonder, because this is pre-earthquake LA, so he's got some...
And he doesn't have a bitching scar.
No bitching scar, no 5 o'clock shadow.
Which pissed me off, because, like, Jack Death looks cool as fuck.
Yeah, and it's like, keep that guy throughout your fucking movie.
Yeah,
I want to see him looking like Jack Death.
We got a not as cool looking Jack Death. But he was still all right. So he puts the detective outfit on.
No other point in this series does somebody get sent back into their ancestor's body and be played by the same actor.
No,
in every other case, they're played by a different actor.
Well, he's like, I'm...
very strange precedent.
I'm just putting this detective outfit on. She's like, well, that's weird, but whatever. I got to get to work.
It's like,
and he's like,
why do you even have a duster in your fucking closet? A, B, why
like,
are you
I
putting
like
it on? It's midday, it's LA, it's sunny as shit out. Like, you're going to be pitting out your shirt within seconds, man.
He's getting ready to leave, but something's wrong, Nate.
This is a critical moment
in the movie
that goes on for a good 45 seconds, longer than it seems to need to.
And I'm looking at him, too, and I'm thinking, like, oh, he looks stupid. Like, his new haircut's
so
stupid.
Cool.
And he stops and he looks in the mirror and he thinks to himself, this haircut
looks
stupid. And he finds that little bottle of gel or some shit.
Little thing of LA looks.
LA looks, yeah. Gives himself the fucking slick back that we all know Jack Death has. And Helen Hunt's like, what are you doing? What does he tell her?
He tells her the classic line of the movie, dry hairs for squids.
Dry hairs for squids.
But I think it's undercut a little bit just by Helen Hunt's completely natural, just completely spot on reaction.
What are you doing? Dry hairs for squids.
Because that's also how anybody would naturally react to that moment of just a man getting lost in his own reflection for a good 45 seconds, and then in sort of a hypnotic trance, applying gel to his hair and slicking it back.
That's how I'm doing my hair every morning from now on.
Also, this is establishing that there's a slang term in the future that's squids. It's fucking dum-dums.
Oh, it's not established. Squid. That comes in later. Yeah, they just leave you hanging here.
Leave you hanging here, but I guess we should fill in the blanks. See, if squids are the only people that can turn into trancers.
Yeah.
If you've got a strong mind, you can't do it. It's squids who are fucking easily...
They're weak-minded and also known for their dry hair.
Got some Jedi mind trick thing here going on.
So he takes her to the mall. He's driving in a Thunderbird. She's dressed up like Santa's elf. And he's like, oh, man, this car's bitching. She's like, you're kind of a dick now. Like, mm-hmm. I really enjoyed fucking last night, even though it was a we-had-just-met kind of situation.
Yeah. And you're clearly, like, a weird cop in his 50s, so I'm sure you were a dickhole anyways.
No, he was Phil Death... was a journalist.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
I read a synopsis that said he was a cop, and I was like, was he? That was never made clear to me in the movie.
No, Whistler goes back in time to Detective Weisler's body.
Yeah, he's definitely a cop in this thing.
Yeah, but...
he's using all of his cop powers to fucking fuck shit up throughout this whole movie.
Phil Death is just a journalist, but that's never brought up again.
It's the lamest thing to be. Okay, so that makes a lot of sense in why in subsequent Trancers movies, Helen Hunt's character becomes a journalist. She must be on the road to doing that if she's fucking old journalists here in the first movie. Matt, I also watched the second and third Trancers.
Did you really?
Hell yeah.
Oh.
Well, I'm like 3/4 of the way through the third one.
How are they?
Second one, real good. Third one starts off with a street shark coming back from the future. To try and kill Jack Death.
Like the cartoon street shark?
Yes, and I'm like, this is getting wild.
Oh, man. I got so many questions.
It's like a half shark, half cyborg with a jewel on his forehead. It's crazy.
How's the special effects?
Pretty decent.
I got to watch these. All right, so anyways, he takes her to the mall, and he starts getting all handsy and being like, I don't know where I am.
Yeah.
And she's all
the
like,
past is very jarring to somebody from a post-apocalyptic future.
He's doing a lot of that, like, Harrison Ford, like, gruff.
Yeah.
But, like, not in, like, a lovingly gruff way where it's just like, that old man's manhandling that young woman.
Or, like, that one scene where Kyle Reese is just freaking out under the bridge in Terminator, having, like, future withdrawals.
Under the fucking bridge. I fucking drink your blood.
Terminator, was that the same year as this? I hear over and over again, like, rip off a Terminator.
Terminator's before this.
But I think they have to be close enough to where, like, I don't think this was ripping off Terminator. I think there's just a lot of coincidence.
Terminator takes place, like, on the day of my birth. Oh, no, 84, yeah, okay.
Yeah, see, same year. There's no way he could have seen Terminator and been like, I'm going to make a Terminator ripoff and then churn this out the same year.
No.
Because they built a lot of shit for that opening fucking sequence.
Goddamn right.
Let's put it like on the record right now. Trancers, Blade Runner ripoff? Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
Terminator ripoff? No, you're not stupid.
You're dumb.
If anything, Terminator ripped this off.
If you think it's a Terminator ripoff, you're a fucking squid.
That's true.
You know? Jesus.
Trancing only works on squids, Matt.
So he takes her to the mall.
He does explain this in their drive to the mall.
That's true.
He's like, I'm from the future. I'm Jack Death.
It's when they leave the mall, because when they get to the mall,
right.
Santa, who she's working for,
turns into a trancer.
Bam.
We get a great scene where he has to fucking kill a mall Santa in front of a bunch of little kids.
Because Barney Fife fucking almost gets him killed.
Yeah, that's true. They're like trying to stop him from fucking scorching a trancer and like, what are you thinking, man? This is what he does.
This is what he does for a living. So he kills Santa, and he's like, we got to get the fuck out of here now.
And you get that cool old lady elf who delivers the line, security, we got trouble at the North Pole.
Yeah.
Really well. It's one of my favorite deliveries of the whole movie.
It's pretty good stuff. So he's like, we got to get the fuck out of here. And Helen Hunt's like, no, this is weird. I don't know who the fuck you are. And so he's like, I'm just going to put the gun to you then.
I'm Jack Death. I had to come back in time into Philip Death's body. I hunt trancers. You can't turn into a trancer because trancing is for squids.
Yeah. And so he explains all that when they're driving away trying to find...
I'd get trancing only works on squids on a t-shirt. I'd wear that around.
Oh, hell yeah. So they're fucking cruising down the road. They're trying to find Spencer's uncle or whoever the fuck.
He's trying to find Spencer's gifts, and I'm like, you were just at the mall. Why are you leaving?
You should have gone there.
It was on the second floor.
So they're trying to find his relative, Wilhelm's relative.
Get me a co-ed naked shirt while you're in there.
Hell yeah. And she's like, well, I do believe you only because you mispronounced a street name earlier really, really bad. And so
everybody in LA knows what Coanga is. It's like their favorite thing to try and tell you directions on where to go down Coanga.
She's like, your story.
No way he could be a real Californian.
She's like, your story's legit. So we're good. So he goes to this fucking tanning salon that Spencer's uncle or something owns.
I guess.
And he's like, just hang tight. I'm going to be right back. This and she's like, okay.
Confused me a little bit. I didn't know where we were or what was happening.
Yeah.
It took me a minute to realize it was a tanning salon.
Yeah, that was the guy in the picture that Wilhelm gave to him.
Yeah, uh-huh.
So he's like, I'll be right back. And she's like, cool. And she steals his car and is like, fuck this dude. I'm getting
so
the fuck out of here.
So this guy, he was going to try to protect them.
Right.
Yeah, because this is one of the guys that fucking Whistler is killing because it's old man Chairman's ancestor.
Now, Weisler, a.k.a. Whistler, shows up at the mall to check on the mall Santa, and he's like, Jack Death's here.
Mm-hmm.
I got to go kill him. I know where he's at. He's at the tanning salon because he knows.
It's not clear to me ever, like, the extent of Whistler's powers.
But he
seems to, like, have a psychic connection to his trancers. But,
it's never explained why he can trance them.
Or, like, how many trancers he has going on at once. Does he just have people tranced all over the city?
Yeah, he has multiples.
See through all their eyes?
Yeah.
So, like,
he's got
to
be able to.
In the movie. It's the only way that makes sense how he's always able to appear wherever the fuck Jack Death is. He's just got to have trancer eyes everywhere and is able to, like, scan through, like, Professor X style.
Trancer eyes.
It's like his cerebro, kind of.
So he's at the fucking tanning salon and he's like, hey, are you fucking Spencer's uncle or whatever the fuck? Charles Levy or something.
I'm not fucking Spencer's uncle. Like, I know this guy's gross.
And he's like, yeah, I'm that dude. And he's like, okay, listen here. Somebody's trying to kill you. And he's like, oh, is that a fact? Let's go talk about it in my office. And he's like, well, okay, let's do that. And then he's like, oh, hey, Jack Death, one more thing. I'm a trancer.
I've been transferred.
Boom, knocks his ass
Which
out.
Is like, this is why I was getting confused, because I was like, well, I thought that was the guy Whistler wanted to kill. So why didn't he just kill him instead of make him a trancer? And why is he locking Jack Death up somewhere instead of, like, killing Jack Death if he's going to use him to kill Jack Death? What's he keeping Jack Death hostage for?
When he talked...
It was all very confusing to me.
...to Jack Death, it was all a trap by Whistler, okay?
They were all Twix.
Because, listen, when he talks to Jack Death and he's like, why, oh, you're a cop, like, what are you doing here, blah, blah, blah. He's like, that guy in the tanning bed, like, he turned that up on his own and he got burned on his own accord. So he puts Jack Death in the tanning bed and cranks it up too high. He's like, I'm just going to burn the motherfucker to death.
So it was because it was a big metal chamber. That didn't read to me as being a tanning bed.
It was supposed to be like
any sort of
stand-up tanning bed
I've ever seen in my life. I thought he was back in the future because he was just suddenly in like a metal container that looked like it was on a spaceship.
It was supposed to be some kind of stand-up tanning bed.
But then they were back in the tanning salon.
With a metal door that got so hot it burned his duster.
Mm-hmm.
But when he slammed on it with his face and his hands, they were fine.
And also, like, now Tim Thomerson's got, like, a tan through the rest of the movie, which makes him even less like Jack Death. It's very annoying.
Yeah, that's true.
Jack Death would not have a tan.
He must have accidentally got burned out there, and they were like, this will just explain it.
Yeah, just at lunchtime, he fell asleep.
In a chair.
Outside in a chair, and they're like, we gotta write in a
bench.
Scene to make...
To we gotta explain this fucking
this
tan.
This guy's got a fucking tan for the rest of this movie.
So, what happens? All right, so...
Helen Hunt is like, I got to get out of here. This guy's a crazy asshole. So she's driving away. But then she's like, wait a second. Maybe I love him.
I did enjoy that.
So she turns around
down last
and then
night.
Comes and saves him. Like the whole tanning bed he's in is like locked by a surfboard being propped next to it. So
but
she
if
like
you notice,
kicks the surfboard out of the way.
If
is like,
you
I
notice,
love you. Don't die.
Old boy, the trancer,
he's
killed himself.
Oh, okay.
So
that's how he gets
Whistler
out of the way.
Used him.
Used him to throw Jack Death into a tanning bed to most obvious way to
right.
try and kill your arch enemy and then had him blow his head off.
Right.
I would have just blown his head off and then had him blow his own head off. But you know, the Whistler's got a plan, and I'm no Whistler. Like, this is the guy out here making things happen. I'm not going to tell him how to do his job.
And when that happens, Spencer dies in the future. Wilhelm, he dies.
So he's gone. So, now we're down to one old lady chairman. Apparently, they're like the only people who have any sense in the future. If they're not part of the chair, like, nobody else could do it. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a disaster. The future's going to be over. So she's basically the Ruth Bader Ginsburg of the future right here.
Right.
And all he knows is, I've got a baseball card.
Yeah.
Of who her ancestor
Ashby.
Is. He's Hab, is that his name?
Hab Ashby.
Hab Ashby. Great fucking character name.
Yeah.
I got to go find this Hab Ashby, because if he dies, it's all over, man.
Yeah. So he's like, oh, man.
Luckily,
like,
I now have Helen Hunt on my side. This teenage girl's going to be a huge asset to me, I'm sure.
He's like, let's go to the front door and get out of here. Oh, shit. Whistler's here with his dirty cops. So they run out.
This is where they have the showdown in the parking lot.
Yeah, they're in the back lot and... Whistler's like, I got you dead to rights, bro.
Which, like, 85 LA, I guess, still had parking.
Yeah.
Pretty impressive.
Yeah. And he's like, you can't just kill me in front of these other cops. And he's like, bro, these cops are trancers.
These cops are all trancered. It's like, you're not even a trancer hunter. You don't know what trancering is?
I'm like,
give me a break.
We get, like, the first glimpse of some real trancing, and Whistler's just like, kill him. Shoot him. Shoot him!
It's very interesting. In the third movie, it's revealed that trancing was invented in 2005, and it started off as this
what?
Government program that was designed to make the perfect soldier.
Oh.
I haven't gotten to the point where how this all leads to Whistler being able to psychically transfer people. Originally, they're like injecting them full of trancer drugs and turn them into trancers. Things are developing as I move through this trancer series.
Is Whistler ever talked about again in the other movies?
Oh, no. Whistler's brother comes back in Hans Gruber's fucking brother style in Trancers 2, though.
Was he also played by Jeremy Irons?
Not played by Jeremy Irons, unfortunately. But the guy is like real weird looking and ugly and old. He kind of looks like a real version of the Crypt Keeper, so that's cool too.
That's
also
weird.
A big problem with the second movie. Like 7 years have passed, so Helen Hunt is aged 7 years. So they're like this kind of they look more normal together on screen now. Yeah. Her and Tim Thomerson. I don't like it. Don't have that pedo vibe to things. So they're like, let's bring in a 12-year-old Megan Ward and do a weird love triangle. Now he's going to be making out with both of them the whole movie.
Nice.
You still are going to get your creep vibes.
That's
don't
good.
Worry, Trancers fans. If you want to see Tim Thomerson's old man face smushing against some young lady's smooth face, we got that for you.
Ah, you know what? We failed to mention how old Harvey Weinstein got 23 years.
Oh,
and he's
going to
die in jail.
That's right. I don't see him lasting very long.
I'd just like to say this is officially the point now where we get to refer to old Hollywood and new Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
New Hollywood starts after Weinstein's death.
Okay.
Because that's when you couldn't put weird pedo rape in all your movies and just be like, that's perfectly fine.
Man, movies are going to get super boring now.
Yeah. You can't do any of that anymore.
Weinstein.
So they got him dead to rights. They shoot at him. They're about to die. And then fucking Jack Death's like, oh, snap. I got the long second watch.
That's right.
So he hits it. And now 1 second turns into 10 seconds, or as we see in this movie, 10 minutes.
I was so confused here because like he hits it and then he just is looking around.
Yeah.
I'm like, what's he doing?
You're wasting the 10 seconds,
bro. I literally thought he was going to waste the entire 10 seconds.
Yeah.
And then we got like past 10 seconds. And I'm like, well, it's fucking wasted now. And then I realized like, oh, no, he's going to have another 3.5 minutes.
Yeah.
That they're calling 10 seconds to do stuff.
So he like picks her up.
It's insane how they do this.
Picks her up. Fireman's carry. Runs over to Whistler.
Slow-mo bullets coming towards her.
Which
and he,
is
like,
pretty cool.
Moves her right out of the way. Kind of like Matrix style, but like cooler than the Matrix. Because let's be fair, Matrix is pretty fucking dumb.
Fucking lame. So he fireman carries her over to Whistler. Stops for 10 seconds at least to look at Whistler.
Smokes a cigarette.
Yeah. He beats off while no one's paying attention. Mm-hmm. And then runs over to the car. Puts her in there. Shags her down for the keys.
Mm-hmm.
and then drives away.
Yeah, puts her into the passenger seat, runs around the back of the car all the way around to the driver's seat, sits down, like
opens, it's a fucking drop
looks
top.
Looks around for, realizes he doesn't have the keys, like.
Instead of just, like, jumping the door, he, like, fidgets with the fucking handle and
this
shit.
This is 10 minutes later. We're still apparently within his 10-second window.
So, like, she calls him out and is like, oh, like, well, why didn't you just fucking kill him when you had that 10 seconds? Which is what I was thinking.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And he's like, only had enough time to kill him or save you. And I was like, I don't know, man.
It's a good line, but clearly he had enough time to do a lot of other things.
Like, you had her in that fireman's carry, and then you ran up and, like, fucking licked the side of Whistler's face. Mm-hmm. You could have just taken his gun at that point and blew his head off.
Could have done so many things.
Or whatever you wanted. But whichever.
This movie's asking a lot of us in this scene.
He's established.
It's really asking a lot of us.
He's established that he would like to get a little bit of that pussy that his great uncle got.
So she's like, fuck, I clearly have not been raised by good people. Yeah. I'm down. Why don't we go hang out at my apartment that's in Chinatown?
It's her friend's.
Her
who's
friend's
out of
apartment?
Town.
Okay.
Andy.
I wonder where she lives then. Because that original apartment that had to have been fucking
that was
old. Phil Death's
that's
apartment.
Phil's.
And then, like, this isn't her place. She's just crashing there. Like, this chick does not have a home, clearly. No. She, like, ran away from Kansas at, like, age 14 or whatever.
Ooh, she my little runaway.
Now she's out in L.A. trying to make it, but she's just moving from couch to couch, right, banging sleazebag after sleazebag, dying blue streaks in her hair. There's more to this story than we're getting in this movie.
Well, we find out she's a fucking punk rocker because this apartment is right
above
punk the
rock
punk rock
club. Which is fucking insane.
And she hears the music going, and like she gets some Chinese food and stuff, and he's like, I don't understand nothing no more. I'm watching this cop show with Pete Gunn. This is pretty good stuff. She's like, that stuff's bullshit. Here's some Chinese
great
food.
Old man show.
He's like, it's got beef in it, and he's like, with real cow?
Yeah, the future doesn't understand things. He uses the three seashells, I'm sure.
Right.
We don't get a scene where he sees toilet paper, but if he did, he'd be as confused about toilet paper as people seem to be out there in the real world right now.
Right. He's like, I got you this police scanner, and we'll just hang out, and you can figure out where the fuck Whistler's going. And he's like, cool. And then the music starts, and he's like, oh, and what time does this cease?
Yeah.
Which is great. Great future.
He's an
talk.
Angry old man. He hates the sound of punk rock music, but she's like, come downstairs and just dance with me.
If you dance with me for a little bit, I'll get wet and you can fuck me.
We get a scene where they're just like hanging out and dancing in a punk rock club, which has nothing to do with the rest of this movie. I mean, this movie's only 77 minutes long, and you're just like, how are these things still fitting in this movie?
He comes off like Kramer, when Kramer goes to L.A. and he's supposed to be at that like dance club.
I was also thinking of Grandpa Simpson at Woodstock.
Okay.
Like, a little bit of that going on.
A little bit of that. A little bit of that. So he's just dancing while the Buttheads play their rendition of Jingle Bells because it's Christmas time in this movie as
Christmas
well.
Christmas time, of course.
So this movie also rips off future Die Hard.
Mm-hmm.
And the Buttheads are singing Jingle Bells, Jingle All the Way.
Jack Death gets in a fist fight with one of the scumbags that Helen Hunt used to fuck. Like,
did you notice the words to their Jingle Bells?
No, I definitely wasn't. I was Jack Death disgusted by it all. Just like,
there was something about
these fucking kids
standing there with dick in hand, shooting lots of ropes.
Oh, Buttheads! You've taken a holiday classic and ruined it.
It was very graphic. But, the punk rockers
Jack
show
Death
up.
Jack Death gets into it, though. Like, he's beating up young kids.
Just
he's
beating the shit out of them.
Doing some old man dancing. He's like, I think I'm in love with this 11-year-old girl.
Yeah.
Me and our souls are connected.
And she's like, I'm on FetLife. I love daddies.
Mm-hmm.
Watching him manhandle these dudes.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I want him to mutilate my genitals upstairs.
At first, she was a little weirded out that, like, the guy she was dating suddenly had his mind taken over by one of his ancestors from the future.
Right.
But now she's completely over that.
Now she's full on, like, I gotta get just...
They're upstairs.
Beat the shit out of this.
And they're going at it.
Right.
And this is when a crazy twist happens.
This is when the sexiest scene happens.
Turns out McNulty has come back to the past as well, and he's going to interrupt their coitus.
Right.
But McNulty's only ancestor was like an 11-year-old girl. So he's just speaking through the body of a little 11-year-old girl.
So we have to assume that 11-year-old girl's parents are dead?
No, because he even says, oh, this is a nightmare. I even had to sneak past the parents to get out here.
So he couldn't have just taken the parents' bodies?
Matt, he had to sneak past the parents, which means they had to have been adopted. Adoptive parents, I guess. I didn't even think about that stupid plot twist.
Yeah, right. Right.
So, hole in the plot.
Either way, he's an 11-year-old girl. It's very erotic. Her voice is clearly dubbed over.
Which is weird as hell.
Right?
She's like, they're trying to still give her like a man's voice.
It was strange. I really...
Plot twist.
Yeah.
They bring her back for Trancers 2.
Do
so
they?
So McNulty can be in the movie again. And she gets hot, Matt.
Oh,
she
snap.
Gets hot.
Do they make jokes about it?
He makes one comment like, oh, I can't go back and... whatever year, blah, 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 I'll be of age and there'll be men trying to flirt with me. Or... Mm-hmm. And then no men try to flirt with her, but I would have been trying to flirt with her.
Nice,
she's
nice.
Got some like thick thighs going on.
Oh, yeah, you would have jacked death that young
hell
girl?
Yeah, hell yeah, I would have jacked death the shit out of her.
Good man. So he's like, oh, get the fuck out of here or I'll spank you, you little McNulty baby girl.
Mm-hmm. He's literally, McNulty's like, hey, remember, you have a mission. We sent you back in time for it. We need you to do it.
He's like, get out of here.
Get the fuck out of here.
I'm gonna fuck mad
teenager.
About you.
What are you, stupid?
I'm gonna fuck Paul Reiser's wife. They're married in real life, right?
No clue.
I would just assume.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
A lot of hearts going to be broken out there.
Aren't they bringing Mad About You back?
They're bringing everything back, man. They're doing a Dharma and Greg crossover with it.
Don't. Do not. Do fucking not joke about D&G, okay?
McNulty, like, peeks through the window, though, and shoots Jack Death when he's, like, mid-insertion with the fucking antidote gun. So he gets ripped right back into the fucking future again and doesn't even get to have sex with Helen Hunt.
I'm in two worlds
it's a tragedy.
Right now. I'm thinking about 11-year-old girl McNulty watching them fuck, but I'm also...
When she, like, her head, like, came up in the window, I thought that was going to be... It was just like, McNulty's
like,
just
oh,
watching
he's just
gonna
watch
it.
Oh, there's a purpose for it.
Yeah, it was not that weird.
I'm also thinking about all the episodes of Dharma and Greg I love.
Is Greg still alive? Can they bring him back?
Yeah, he got fired from Criminal Minds for punching around an assistant
or
something.
Criminal Minds. I'm completely familiar with what that is. And that Greg was on it.
Duh. You're right there. You got it all.
So when he gets back to the future, they're like, Jack Death, you're not taking this seriously. You're off the fucking case. We got some new Greenhorn or something who we're going to send to the past and steady you.
We're sending Quan.
Quan's going to take care of Whistler because you can't do it. You're getting distracted by young Poon. Like, it's ridiculous. I thought you were a fucking professional, Jack Death.
He fucking Big Lebowski's them. He's like, she's my fucking lead, man.
Yeah,
it's like, you got no leads.
Leads? Yeah, sure. I'll just check with the boys down at the crime lab. They got four more detectives working on the case. They got us working in shifts. Leads.
But it seems to me that he believes it, though, that, like, she's going to be his lead. And I'm like, you've really deluded yourself trying to make up excuses for why you got to get in this fucking teenage Poon, man.
He's Lebowski in it.
You are a full-on predator.
Yeah. And so...
But they buy it. Like, the one council member lady's like, all right.
McNulty doesn't buy it, but the old lady's just...
McNulty is fucking... He's like, I see you, Jack Death. I know what you are.
The old lady's afraid to die, and it's like,
scumbag.
Bitch, you're going to die any day anyways. You're a million years old.
She's at death's door. I don't even know why we're trying so hard to save her.
So she's like, all right, I'm sorry that we paused the movie for 5 minutes to bring you back here.
I think the only reason they do this is so they can get him some more future gear. Because he's like,
he was like, hey, Aunt Rachel.
Send me some more back when I go again.
Oh, and they keep saying...
Not that there wouldn't have been an easier way to do that.
They keep talking about you send things down the line up the line.
Right,
which is pretty
down
cool.
The line.
Yeah, it was you.
Thinking that shit the whole fucking time.
Right,
get that, get a little of that in the soundtrack. You really could have taken this movie up to another level.
I don't know if that song was written yet.
Yeah,
it was written.
The next sort of bullet point
that's
I have
like
in 70s. My list is Scooters and Hobos.
Yeah.
It's pretty much the entire rest of this movie. We're just dealing with scooters and hobos.
Right. He goes back, and I have it written here that Helen Hunt steals Sarah Connor's scooter.
Yeah, two of them. They each get a scooter.
And they're like, how do they find out?
He sees something. He sees fucking Whistler on TV, like, at Skid Row.
Yeah.
So he's like, that must be where fucking old Hub, whatever his name is.
Yeah.
We got to get to Skid Row ASAP. Let's steal some sweet Sarah Connor scooters and get down there.
Yeah, Whistler's like, oh, we're going to track all the hobos on Skid Row. Mm-hmm. It's for our new police
initiative.
Initiative.
Trying to kill old ladies' ancestors so we can fuck up the year 2274.
He's like, well, I know what we got to do. So there's some drawn-out shit of him walking through there and cops doing poor police work fucking Jack Death pretends to be a hobo, which is kind of funny.
A lot of great stuff here. We start meeting real charismatic drunk old hobos for the entire rest of the movie.
But we finally find our guy.
After like a 10-minute scene of just a bunch of drunk hobos playing trash baseball.
Well, one of them's Hubba Ashby.
Yeah, the famous baseball player. But like
highball. Highball, they call
him. They didn't need to establish this is fucking highball. Hub Ashby or whatever.
Yeah.
By making us watch 5 minutes of hobo baseball. Like, it was so weird how long this went on.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like one of our characters is like off to the side watching and like they're saying to themselves, like, that must be him, the baseball player. It's just no one's around. It's just us, the audience, and characters we haven't met up to this point.
Just watching them.
We're spending a lot of time with them.
Yeah.
And it's fun because they're all crazy drunk hobos and they're using just literal trash as like baseballs and baseball bats.
I think they were really drunk hobos.
They had to have been real drunk hobos.
Yeah. Because there's that whole scene where like they show Hub's wind up and he's going to throw the bottle.
Mm-hmm.
And like the guy just fucking staggers out of the batter's box. And he's like, you can't fucking sway in the batter's box. And all the other drunk hobos are like, you can't sway in the batter's box.
They were in the zone. Maybe that's why we got so much of it, because they just like filmed a few hours of this actual baseball game. And they were like, we'll just cut together what we want to use later.
I read something that the dude that played Hap Ashby,
his name.
That's a cool name, too.
Biff Mannard is the man's name.
I read that he was
real charismatic chap.
He was drunk for a lot of it.
Rumor on the street is that they did need to wrangle him because he was getting for real drunk in order to play this drunk.
Come on, wouldn't you?
I'm a method man. You know fucking I gotta go in
100% M-E-T-H-O-D, man. That's you.
You sign me up, you're fucking getting the whole thing. All or nothing. But yeah, he's doing a real good job. And I guess fucking like Helen Hunt and old Jack Death just fall through a board and then land directly on top of all these guys.
Which is convenient.
Like, oh, hey, it's the guy we're looking for. But then also Whistler is there and we get a big like showdown.
So Whistler's like, hey, you fucking drunks, I'm going to kill all of you.
There's cops, they're shooting, Jack Death shooting back. Yeah. We get like a scooter chase.
Jack Death like informs Ashby right before though. He's like, I'm from the future. Mm-hmm. Somebody's upstairs trying to kill you. You have to come with me. Come with me if you want to live. And he's like, I'm fucking wasted, bro. Get the fuck out of here. And then, Whistler starts shooting. He's like, okay, bro, I know a way out of here. I believe you now. Come with me. And so, that's when they get on the scooters and ride.
Do they end up back at the apartment here? Or is there the big chase here where Helen Hunt ends up crashing through the plate glass window of a business?
Yeah, this is the big chase because they're like, we need to split up.
Because there's a good, like,
we'll meet back in Chinatown.
Yeah, they do split up. So, like, he's just taken. He's got Hap Ashby, the drunken hobo, on the back of his scooter.
Yeah, and their big climatic chases. Uh-huh. Oh, there's a big flight of stairs.
Oh, they make it to those stairs, though. No problem. No problem. Yeah. It's because of Jack Dale's great scooter skills.
Yeah. But Helen Hunt gets the cooler one.
We get a legit just like...
She gets shot.
Helen Hunt action scene. Yeah. She's like being shot at. It's a scooter chase. She ends up getting... busting through the front of a store window.
It's an apartment window. It's an apartment. Where a crazy old man's...
She flies through the
drinking
air.
Drinking milk and smoking a pipe. And
busts through a plate glass window.
Decorating his Christmas tree.
Yeah, and there's an old man, and it's just like, I never knew there was so much Helen Hunt action out there in the cinema universe.
And he's like, are you okay? I heard you like to fuck old men. And she's like, not right now.
Not that old.
She's like, not right now. Can you just...
Daddy's, not grandpa's.
I'm going to kick the scooter over, and will you just open the door? And so they end up meeting back up, and Jack Death's all like, God, I really want to fuck you.
Mm-hmm. Too bad this drunk, smelly hobo's around.
Yeah.
Making Scooby-Doo sandwiches out of your friend's fridge.
He starts slapping around old Biff Manford, and apparently this is where Biff Manford lost the tooth.
Wait, you're saying he lost that tooth for real?
Yeah. Tim... Thomerson really punched him in the mouth and knocked his tooth out.
Method acting.
And
I love it.
paid for him to get it fixed.
Good man.
Because Tim Thomerson was also the one who recommended Biff and Helen Hunt for those roles.
How the fuck did he know Helen Hunt? I want to watch a documentary about the making of Transfers.
Maybe there's a little truth in this love story.
That's what I'm saying. That's you know? What I'm saying.
Old Hollywood, Nate.
Eventually, this leads to our whole fucking climax.
Pre-23. That's what I'm calling it.
Which I don't even remember what happens after
Wait,
this.
What?
We're just... There's a climactic scene on the roof with the bad guy after this.
Well, yeah.
How do we get from them chilling at the apartment and making funny, like, we gotta make you take a shower, Hap Ashby jokes, to like, here we are with all the bad guys and it's the big...
Because Ashby gets on the phone and he's like, hello, police, put me through to Weisler.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, hello, Whistler...
I want to make a deal. Yeah, I'm sick of all this running around doing.
I'll give you the bum.
I don't
you
even
just let me
care
keep
about
the woman.
Future anymore. Just come kill this guy.
And Helen Hunt's like, no, don't you dick. And he's like, you played it great, baby.
It's all a scam.
Yeah,
Jack
I'm
Death
a cop,
over here.
See? Yeah, I'm a cop.
He does say I'm a cop a lot of times.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. So Helen Hunt's fucking waiting on the roof. Jack Death's down on the street. All of a sudden, Weisler gets the drop on Helen Hunt, and he's like, ooh, I got a big future boner. Call for Whistler. Call for fucking Jack Death.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, okay. She's like, hey, Jack Death. And he turns around. And he's like, hey, I'm this crazy drunk Hap. What's up, everybody? And he's like, what? That's not fucking Jack Death. And then Jack Death's like, oh, because I'm behind you with a gun, motherfucker.
We just put a duster on a hobo, and he fell for it.
Why do you think we made him bathe? For this specific reason. And he's like, well, that's not very nice. He's like, also, I heard you shoot 6 times. And Helen Hunt's like, there's only 5, you idiot.
Yeah.
And then he shoots at Jack Death. And Jack
Death's
like,
oh,
but he drops his gun in the process.
That's true.
Oh,
it's a fun little character bit. Jack Death's, he's reckless.
He's not great at counting to fucking 6.
But this is where we get like the opening of Last Action Hero scene where like, Whistler's like, all right, Jack Slater, I've got your little son, which in this movie is just a teenage girl you're fucking. I'm going to throw her off the roof. So,
Alice in Chains,
fuck you.
What the Hell Have I is playing. It's great.
But at this point, Jack Death has got one more of the long second watches.
Because they unnecessarily made him go back in time.
Helen Hunt is falling through the air off this apartment roof. He's able to hit that thing and then save her in dramatic fashion by...
We spent another 10 minutes.
Belt over a fucking electric line and
just
zip cording down. Which the physics on this is making like no fucking sense. Yeah. And also, once again,
perfect sense.
Everything he's doing is taking like 3 fucking minutes.
Yeah. We've dedicated 20 minutes of our 76 minutes to fucking slow motion.
Gotta do what you gotta do.
Yeah.
He gets down on ground level. He catches her, which I'm like, that bitch ain't that big, but you know. That's like a good 110 pounds being thrown 3 stories, and then you're just casually catching it. How strong are you, Jack?
I thought of that too, but then at the same time, if you're dealing in regular physics and she's in slow motion physics, the force isn't going to be as high as it was.
I feel like as soon as that 10-second thing ends, it's just like, bam. It's just like, bam. You're back into it with everybody else. She'd be hitting you. He at least should have like fallen to the ground or something. He just catches her like she's got no weight. It was weird to me.
Either way, they're on the ground and fucking Whistler's up there. And he's like, well, fuck you. I'm just going to shoot you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to shoot you from up here. And then who do we get? Our real hero.
Hap Ashby. Turns out he's got...
Who's slow motion drinking in the dumpster that
while
he's hiding
falls,
in this whole time.
He's got some like rot gut pouring out of a bottle slowly into his mouth. And I'm like... That liquid's pouring out of that bottle at a much different frame rate than she's falling through the air. None of this is tracking. None of this is tracking.
Doesn't matter. But he's like, this is my chance. Call him back up to the majors. Because Jack Death, when he was trying to get him to shower and shit, he was like, look here, motherfucker. You're going to, this is where you get sober. I'm the fortune teller. You're going
to
get sober. You're going
to
meet a lady. And you're going to have a daughter.
Oh, you're a drunk bum.
She's going to be one of the most important people of the 23rd century. Well, I guess it's not his daughter. It's his
great-great-descendant. Hundreds of years in the future.
Yeah.
His daughter might be an asshole. Who knows?
He's like, oh, okay. So he fucking snaps too, and he's like, I'm going to take these empty bottles and just fucking whip them at Whistler.
He's still got his arm, man. All that trash baseball he's playing at the hobo yard.
And it's fucking hilarious.
It all pays off in the end.
It's one of my favorite scenes when he hits Whistler in the head with the bottle, and Whistler's like, ooh!
Teeters over the edge and is just fucking hanging on by the tips of his fingers on the fucking thing now.
Hap's like, no big deal. I found an old Stroh's bottle in this dumpster too.
Fucking throws the Stroh's bottle, breaks it over his knuckles, and then Whistler fucking, he can't hold on anymore. Plunges to his death.
Yep. And so
Hap Ashby's a hero.
Check, that's like, oh, I got
Hobo
you.
Hobo chucking booze bottles.
Hell yeah. He's like, I got you dead to rights now, motherfucker. I got these two serums, and I'm going to send you up the line. And P.S.
We've already established that your body's
destroyed. Your fucking body.
So you're going
so this
up the line
it.
To nothing.
You're just going to disappear. And he's like, oh, joke's on you. You broke one of the serums.
Mm-hmm.
When you
did a barrel roll.
When you
earlier,
fucking
when
like you couldn't count how many times I shot a gun, idiot.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
And he's like, oh, fuck. And he's like, well, you can either kill me or get yourself back in time. And he's like, nah, I got to fuck this young coos. Mm-hmm. See you in hell, motherfucker.
Which is really not much of like a big choice he has to make at the end, because it's like, should I stay here in the past where things are still normal and like have sex with young Helen Hunt, or should I use this to send myself back to the war-torn, miserable, earthquake-ravaged future? Like,
but he looks cool.
No, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that at all. He does. He's got that scar on his eye and stuff.
He's like, yeah, fuck it. I'm just...
But no, it's a happy ending. He sends fucking Whistler up the line to his own dead body, which theoretically means he's just dead in all timelines now, and then he gets to live happily ever after here in 1985 with Helen Hunt.
And creepy McNulty child shows back up.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, I'm going to watch them fuck again.
I'm going to keep an eye on them just in case I might need to get a hold of them for a later mission in Trancers 2.
Electric Boogaloo.
It's called something. It's called The Return of Jack Death, I think. Okay, well, let's take a break. You guys can listen to some coming attractions, and then we'll come back and we'll put through Trancers through the rigmarole that is Judgment Day.
Time travel has not yet been invented, but 30 years from now, it will have been. I am one of many specialized assassins in our present called loopers. So when criminal organizations in the future need someone gone, they zap him back to me, and I eliminate the target from the future.
Oh la la.
Loopers are well paid. We live the good life. And the only rule is, never let your target escape. Even if your target is you.
I'm gonna fix this! I'm gonna fight him! I'm gonna kill him!
Time travel crap just fries your brain like an egg.
Don't miss the bus for the number one movie in America.
I should probably tell you that I have my driver's license revoked.
What for?
Speeding.
It's an edge-of-your-seat thrill ride.
Come on!
The theater needs seatbelts for speed. A summer season masterpiece.
Very exciting, Jack.
The movie of the year.
How many lives you got, man?
Keanu Reeves, Speed, rated R. Now playing at theaters everywhere.
Big Gun is the obvious choice. That's what the fucking poser's pick. Like,
classic's a classic for a reason sometimes. Like,
there's, you do the fucking deep dive, man. Alice in Chains got two great songs on that soundtrack.
I don't think that Alice in Chains has two great songs in their discography.
Oh, bullshit. Yeah,
I'm making that claim right now.
No, you did. Fucking.
Boring band.
But I can sell you on one good song, maybe.
Okay. I'm willing to hear you out.
Whatever the song is in that Clerks soundtrack. Someone's gonna turn around.
I don't know.
Doodle-doodle-doo.
I probably know less tracks from the Clerks soundtrack than I know from the Last Action Hero soundtrack. I haven't dug into my collection of 90s
Clerks got a great soundtrack too.
For quite a long time.
Kevin Smith doesn't get enough credit. Clerks, Mallrats.
I think he does. I think
pretty good soundtracks. Pretty good soundtracks, man. Both of those.
Remember Clerks 2 when he used Smashing Pumpkins 1979, like 12 years after it was released?
I never saw that movie.
While Dante was driving around sad, looking at happy families through their fucking picture windows, and they were all like carving big turkey dinners and shit. It was the corniest scene that was supposed to be serious I've ever seen in a movie in my entire life.
Remember when he derailed Seth Rogen's career? By making that Zach and Miri make a porno movie. Remember
was that
one?
The line of demarcation where Seth Rogen stopped being in every movie
absolutely.
Released? Absolutely. Went from fucking 60 to zero real quick.
That whole movie was about like, oh, they're best friends and they're going to have to end up fucking at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And when it finally happens, they use that like, weird live
details from Zach and Miri Make a Porno. That's just astonishing.
They use like a really obscure live song, and it's just like, this isn't like romantic or nothing.
Fucking every live song I've ever heard is fucking romantic.
I love you.
So much passion.
Black water.
So much passion in that little rat tail.
You remember how fucking much they cooked when we saw them in the suite?
Live kicks ass. Fucking.
They still got it, bro.
Okay, any concert you see is going to sound like 10% better
when
you're watching them in a suite like a fucking baller, but still.
But like live.
Live brought it.
They fucking cooked, bro.
Judgment Day. This is where I troll the internet for reviews of the movie we've been watching. Normally, I like to stick to the extremes because that's where you find the more interesting opinions and the one bullet reviews and
plus,
the five bullet reviews.
That's just like how you and I live our lives, man. We grip it.
Surely
and we
nothing
rip
happening
it.
With one bullet reviews this week.
Duh.
For Trancers.
It's too good a movie.
There was also not much going on for five bullet reviews as far as Trancers went. So I hung around
that
in the middle.
That caught me off guard.
I hung around in the middle a little bit, and I bounced
three
around.
Bullets.
I just got a handful of reviews here. We'll start off. I did find a
couple twos, couple fours,
couple negatives,
got?
Couple positives here. This first one is a 1.5
positive,
bullet review
negative, positive,
from IMDb
negative,
user
bon.
View and review.
How many? What was
1.5 bullets?
Yeah, 1.5. Okay, bullets. I was doing other stuff.
They say I suffered through over an hour of this drivel.
Over and go fuck yourself.
And I still
barely
don't have
over
a
an
clue
hour.
What a trancer is.
Done with this guy.
All I know is that a guy with a permanent 5 o'clock shadow and a ridiculous name, Jack Death.
I'm Dave-O done with this
was
guy.
Was tasked with going to the past to bring back a guy named Whistler. Whistler somehow makes trancers. How he makes them, I don't know.
No, no one does. It's not explained, dipshit.
This is a bad attempt at a sci-fi. They left too much unexplained. And if you're going to be low budget, you better at least have a good plot and some plausible science in your science fiction. 1.5 bullets.
I'm going to give him 1.5 bullets.
View interview.
I'm going to give him 1.5 bullets because no one says...
His head?
No one says... Well, yeah. No one says an attempt at a sci-fi.
Yeah, this guy likes science in his science fiction.
Fucking loser.
I got another person who was not too happy with it. This is a two-bullet review. This is from a Letterboxd user named Max A. Walker. When I was about 7 or 8, a man approached me while I was rollerblading in the park by my house. He offered me Twizzlers from inside his GMC Jimmy. I think the only reason I wasn't raped is that I don't like licorice. For some reason, this movie made me remember this. Two bullets from Letterboxd user Max A. Walker.
He was also picking up on those...
bringing up some bad vibes.
Tim Thomerson and Helen Hunt vibes that we were picking up on, huh?
Pedo shit in this movie is not sitting well
okay,
with him.
Okay, all right. I'm going
to... Hair on the back of his neck is standing up.
I'm going to allow that review.
Some people really like this movie, though. I've got... A four-bullet review from a Letterboxd user named Evan right here. I know I already compared I Come in Peace to a Sergio Martino movie, but this time I really mean it. Tranchers is the real deal, putting just enough of Blade Runner on the screen so that Charlie Band could market this thing as a tech-noir future cop thriller.
I Come in Peace.
The end result is something that I kind of like almost more. Cut down to the bone and replacing the philosophical wankering and gross rape scenes of the Scott film with wino baseball and Christmas punks.
It really does.
This thing doesn't even crack 80 minutes.
Force himself on.
But Band makes every second count. Lingering on Tim Thomerson running pomade through his hair.
Finkler
and a bum eating a sandwich for what feels like a small eternity. That's not a bad thing. Four bullets from Letterboxd user Evan, who's kind of on the same wavelength that I am.
It's not Ridley Scott's fault that Harrison Ford and Sean Young had zero chemistry. You know?
Whose fault is it?
Casting director.
Okay. We'll put it on them. I do have one five-bullet review here from an Amazon user named Star Trek Enterprise.
Starfucker Incorporated?
Star Trek Enterprise. Not Trek. It's not
Star
Trek. Not necessarily a fan
queen.
Of Star Trek Enterprise. Star Trek Enterprise. Okay. Star Trek has to say, this movie is only for a true science fiction lover that
Thank
is over
you.
A certain amount of years old. Or any
Correct.
Person of any age that really likes science fiction and
also
the start
true.
Of it all. No blood or gore, and yes, this movie is the 80s, and I happen to love the history of movies that are made in each decennial.
This is the 90s. We're going to sue you.
They are all very different, just as we the people are. I enjoyed it very much. To me, it was a comic book that came alive. Jim Thomason and Heller Hunt were very good and so very young. Five bullets. From Amazon user, Star Trek Enterprise.
I'm going to tell you right now, I really enjoyed that.
He tried to say the word decade and said decennial, Matt. You blew right past that.
I wasn't paying attention. I was just lost in thought.
Oh, now that you're lost in your thought, let's hear your thoughts. This is the part of the show where we hear your fucking thoughts and you give your bullet rating to
Nate,
Trancers.
Nate,
mm-hmm.
This movie Trancers
mm-hmm.
put me into a trance.
Oh, wow.
And it kicked a big old dick up and down the street. It's really bad and so amazing at the same
oh,
time.
Oh, okay, yeah.
It's the kind of trash I live for,
mm-hmm,
you know?
Mm-hmm.
The fact that I haven't seen this movie until this day...
Oh, wow.
...almost disgusts me.
A little treat here.
Like, I...
First experiences. We're making memories.
I'm gonna be very hard on myself tomorrow. Just like... What are you even fucking doing with your life, you know?
I'm going to be real hard on myself before I go to bed tonight, probably.
What are you thinking, tranny porn again?
Whatever does the job.
Whatever does it. Man, I loved all of it. Like, fucking Tim Thomerson kills it.
Mm-hmm.
Helen Hunt.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought she'd turn me on the way she turned me on. Whistler was Whistler. He didn't even fucking matter, which was the best part.
That's true.
This movie.
Little girl police chief.
I'm going to tell you right now.
Great twist.
Oh, I like that a lot. You know, and this movie, there's a lot wrong with it, but goddamn if it ain't a good old time.
Mm-hmm.
And 76 minutes never hurt anybody.
That's true as hell.
I cannot give this movie anything lower than 3.5 bullets.
3.5 bullets?
3.5.
That's wow.
It's that enjoyable.
That's real big. That's
Nate,
real
it's
big
that big. Enjoyable.
Love and Tranchers is wrong. I don't want to be right. This is, I'm going to say, the best Charles Band movie. Maybe the best Full Moon Features release here. Everything about the concept is awesome. The opening scene in the future is one of my favorite things ever.
Looks great.
In the genre of future post-apocalyptic shit, which is a genre that I have a huge, huge amount of love for.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of quotable lines in here. Too much romance. Like, too much of the movie is just spent with, like...
Oh.
Jack Death and Helen Hunt on dates.
Heart wants is, what the heart wants,
which is
Nate.
The big negative to
this
it for me.
This is pre-23.
Like you said, some scenes are strangely well made.
Yeah.
But then some scenes are terribly made.
Absolutely.
And I think as the movie goes on, you start to see the seams more. But that's
sure.
why it's gotta be a 76-minute movie.
Right.
If you would have like tacked even just like gotten this thing to 90 minutes, I think it would have fallen apart on
me. I think if you would have put this at 80 minutes,
it might have fallen apart.
Yeah.
But he got out right before things
yeah.
went to shit. So I'm giving it a solid 3-bullet review here. I
okay.
also liked it. A little less enthusiastic, but I don't know. Maybe that comes with I've seen Trancers before. It's
could be.
I think I might have liked it more the first time too, where I was like, "Whoa, this is a real treat that fell under everybody's radars."
It's just a get in, get out, fucking throw away good time,
that's right,
man.
You like trash movies? And you like exploitation?
When
shit.
We're all fucking quarantined and fucking grabbing our ankles because mm-hmm. you know death's knocking at the door right now.
Oh, I thought they were gonna give us some sort of vaccine suppository. That's why I thought that was why you were grabbing
only
our ankles.
Only in my dreams, you know.
That's what they come up with. It's just like we've got a cure, but it can't be given any other way.
It's about 3 inches wide, and it's got to go up your
ass. Everybody's got to line up.
But it'll stop it. It's what, the what size. Dream. It's the size of a tennis ball, and it also has that dry, fuzzy exterior, and there's no way to lube it. Like, but you get it in there. And you're going to be all right.
Giving everybody a slug of rye and then a slug up their buttholes.
Just like the fucking war movie, just like giving somebody a bit to bite on while it goes in there.
To bring in the army for this one.
Oh, boy. Oh, Christ. So, yeah, Trancers will cure what ails you right now.
It's coming, baby. Oil
What's
blow
in the
recommended.
Future?
What's in the future
we're,
is another
we're fucking
movie
time traveling.
About the future. We're going to end the fucking month with another movie about time cops, Matt. 3 movies in a row.
What is it?
It's fucking, we're watching Rian Johnson's Looper. It's a fucking more modern movie than we
Loopers.
Usually watch. We're getting out of the 80s and the 90s.
Hey, I appreciate you.
Little Bruce Willis.
Appreciate you doing that. I never got around to seeing this movie, and I always intended to.
It's going to be good to see what your thoughts on it next week's Judgment Day.
Did Rian Johnson...
Real interested.
Did he also do the... Safety Not Guaranteed?
No.
Who did that one?
I forget that guy's name, but he was coming around the same era. Yeah, they both sort of got hot at the same time, and I think they both got like Marvel or Star Wars movies at the same time.
Or Safety Not Guaranteed. Nah, I don't know anymore. But is that going to be the final one we do?
Yeah, that's the Safety Not Guaranteed. We move into. Oh, no. After that, we're in a new month.
We're going to just do fucking... Jake Johnson crying on a go-kart.
We'll probably talk about that a lot next week.
Well, if you want to catch Nate and I, we're going to be driving go-karts and smoking cigarettes and drinking whiskey. Until then, we wish you all well.
We're quarantined.
Be healthy. If you're not, I don't give a shit either. Some of us are going to die. Some of us aren't.
That's true.
Everybody's got to live. Everybody's got to die. But until then, stay single. I'm Baby Oil and Blow.
It's a long road when you're on your own, and it hurts when they tear your dreams apart. And every new town just seems to bring you down, trying to find peace of mind. Break your heart.